Hey everyone, welcome to the Motion Church Weekly Podcast. On this podcast, we share some thoughts from our weekly gatherings as home churches, as well as our messages from when we all get together. It's our desire to help people become fully devoted followers of Jesus, and we hope that this podcast encourages you to walk in that way. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy this episode. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Motion Church Weekly Podcast, here with Pastor Shannon, and we are looking at John chapter 8, verses 12 through 30, and this week was really cool. Jesus continues talking to the Jews here, and continues his conversation from the Feast of Booths. And so if you missed last week's podcast, go back and check that, because Pastor Shannon takes us through John chapter 7, verse 53 through 8:11, and so we talk about maybe that wasn't the place that section of Scripture belonged, and maybe it was in a different section of Scripture, but go back and check out that podcast, listen to that, because chapter 8, verse 12 picks up very nicely. It says, again, Jesus spoke to them, so it's given us this idea that he was still at the Feast of Booths. And so some background information that is good to know that I didn't know as I was studying this, and I've seen this passage several times, was that at the Feast of Booths, we talked about before the water ceremony that they did, but there's another ritual that happened, and what they would do is they would take these lamps, and they would light four of them inside of the temple. And so they were not just like a little table lamp that we think of, we put next to our bed. We're talking like humongous, possibly like 75 feet tall, just lights. And they would light these things up in the temple. And there were four of them. And they said that women could actually sift wheat because of the illumination of these lights. They were so bright that people could work at night just as if it was the daytime because of how bright they were. And so this was a picture of how God led the people of Israel through the wilderness by that pillar of cloud during the day, and that was a pillar of fire at night. And so God led the children of Israel by the light in the wilderness. And so we get to the section of Scripture today where Jesus comes out and says in verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so Jesus is really making a bold statement here. And if you don't know that background of what happened at the feast, it's easy to just kind of dismiss that. And yeah, Jesus is the light, you know. He's the light in the world. He brings light to the world. But these lights were so bright. Jesus is saying, no matter how bright these things are, and they would actually light up the entire city of Jerusalem from the temple. And Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world. And so he was making a really big statement. Shannon, you had some things you wanted to share about that.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that's one of the coolest things about Jesus, is he has such a knack of grabbing the everyday thing around him and really getting into the heart of God's story with his people. And then using it as a way to illuminate who he is. And that's what's really cool about his whole statement, about grabbing onto that lighting ceremony there, of the light glowing from the temple during the Feast of Booths, and saying, I am the light of the world. And because he's tapping into this messianic imagery that goes all the way back to when God created the garden, and you have the tree of life in the center of it, and you had the garden, which was basically heaven space meeting earthly space, God space meeting man space, and they intersected, and then man messes it up, and then God gives them the tabernacle, where God space intersects with man space again, and it was the center point, and that's where the flame was at night and the smoke. So once again, now he's at the temple, which is that the tabernacle carried on. And now he's basically saying, there's the light of the world, because that's what the temple was. But now he's connecting him to it. I am the light of the world. And that's the coolest thing, is Jesus is constantly revealing who he is and what he's about. And this is just another one of those moments. And, you know, we see him doing this in the first century as the arrived Messiah. We see it all the way through Scripture as the great redeeming seed that's going to crush the head of the serpent and bring redemption to mankind. And we see that light of the world, him being revealed in the relationship with those that seek him today. And so Jesus is all about revealing who he is. And it's just awesome imagery. It's just great, great stuff. And he's just a master of doing that. And it would really, I think that's the thing that we got to understand with this is, I think sometimes we look at Scripture too much from our own 21st century perspective. Yeah. And we got to put ourselves, this is a gospel written by Jews. It's a Jewish story. It's that's part of God's people and that continuing message. Listen, Jesus standing where he was standing with the temple just lit up and saying, "I am the light of the world." Man, that's explosive. That is explosive. The people there would have grabbed hold of the messianic message and what Jesus was saying. And it was just, it was like total awestruck right there. So it's good stuff.
Yeah. There was some cool cross-references to the light. Of course, Jesus saying that he is the light of the world. This wasn't something new in John's gospel. If you go all the way back to chapter 1, it was all in there that he was the light that came to the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. Mm-hmm. And then we even went to Revelation 21:23, where the new Jerusalem is there. It says there was no need for a light because the Lamb was the lamp of the city.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Super, super cool things to tie in there. And there was a lot of application points that we drew from this, but was there anything else that stuck out to you, Shannon, there?
Yeah, I think in counterbalance to the imagery in the event of Jesus declaring himself the light of the world is the response of the religious leaders, of the scribes and the Pharisees and them, and the fact that, I mean, here is a clear statement of what Jesus is getting at being Messiah. He's been healing people. He's been doing just unbelievable, amazing things. He's got the testimony of Scripture. He's got the testimony of the Father. He's got the testimony of John the Baptist. It's just over and over and over again. And the religious leaders of the day were missing it. They were so caught on the tangible and the worldly that they were missing the reality. And, you know, we can do that ourselves. And that's, you know, as I read through this, I'm challenged in my own heart to be like, you know, where am I like the scribes and the Pharisees? Where am I standing so much on what I'm doing that I'm actually missing what God's really trying to say in his word? And I know, looking back in the past, how I talk about church, how I talked about ministry, how I talked about the word, I look back now and it's so easy to slip into that. It's really a selfish mindset. And as a result, you know, you get locked into this way of thinking and you miss who Jesus really is. You know, we got to think about our skills, our talents, our property, our jobs, even our churches. They're not ours. They're not ours. They're God's. And yes, we are to be good stewards, but we have a tendency to latch onto them like they're ours. You know, we say, no, this is God's church. Jesus is the head of our church. But then we do everything around us. And when things don't go like we want it to, we get upset or we get tweaked out or we start to make compromises. And it's so easy for us to preach God's glory on one hand, but then focus everything else on our own power. Yeah. And I think that's where the light of the world, Jesus is trying to shine light on that selfishness and that darkness that's in our heart. So, because, you know, the religious leaders here thought they were following God. I think sometimes we paint them like they're these just evil, wicked people, but they're really trying to think that they're following God's program, and they're missing it. And they're missing it. We don't want to be guilty of the same things. We don't want to sit there and preach that we're following Jesus, but then everything else says otherwise. And so it's that wake up call to the danger of missing Jesus. So
yeah,
I think that's a challenge for us.
Yeah, I agree. It's interesting, John, as he's going through this, every little piece that he gives us that the Pharisees say, it's always, you know, a question. Like, they just don't understand. They can't see it. Then we really get to see in verse 27 of chapter 8, John says that they didn't understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father.
Yeah.
And so the Pharisees just couldn't understand what Jesus was saying because they had these mental blocks in their mind of,
yep,
this was how things had to be. We put God in our box. And I think
exactly
today, like you're saying, put God in this box. He can't do anything outside of that box. And if something happens outside of my box, then, you know, that was an anomaly. It's just,
exactly.
You know? So it's a very harsh challenge, I think, to all of us to ask God to continue to open our eyes to, he's given us the light in Christ, but we can have to continue to seek Jesus. Like, like you said, a couple weeks ago, where we had to, he said, if anybody thirsts, let him come to me and drink.
That's right.
And so it's really good. Wanted to share, I don't know if we got to it. I don't remember if we got to it or not on Saturday. Looking at my notes here, but I don't think that we got to it. But John, here in chapter 8, wrote this, of course. He also wrote 1 John. And so in 1 John, I don't know if we went here, but 1 John chapter 1, he gives us kind of a similar thing. One of our application points from this was that how Jesus said that he's the light of the world. If anybody follows him, they will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And so we said that if we choose to follow Jesus, we're not going to walk in darkness. We might have those moments where we sin because none of us are perfect, but we're not going to continue to walk in patterns of darkness. And so John, in 1 John chapter 1, in verse 5, he gives us a similar thing. He says, this is the message that you have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. I mean, that's the point of it right there. If we say we know God, and then our life does something different, he says we lie. We're not practicing the truth. Verse 7, he says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Really, really good stuff there.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Really challenging. I was reading that this week, just kind of following up from our study on Saturday. And just challenging myself. I mean, because like you said, like John said, if we say, you know, one thing but do another, then there's a disconnect there.
Yeah.
Because people do what we believe. You know, we always do what we believe. And so that's, I believe, what Jesus is getting at here. He's the light of the world. If you believe he's the light, you're not going to walk in the darkness. You're not going to choose to continue to live in that way.
Yeah.
So, good. You got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think in that, you know, you're walking in the light. You're constantly seeing what Scripture's saying. You're searching for Jesus. You're in prayer, and I think if you're truly in the light, you're going to be more open for God to radically stir up what you believe and to hone it even more. I think if we get so locked into what we believe and what is set and what is solid, I think that's the danger then of missing. And that's the problem with the isms, you know, You got the Calvinisms, the dispensationalisms, the Arminianisms, and all of these isms that people believe. But the problem with the isms is they lock you into a thought. So now everything you look at, it's got to fit into that, like you said, that box. And so what happens is you end up looking at scripture through the lens of the ism instead of looking at the ism through the lens of scripture. And we do that sort of thing in our own day-to-day life. And I think the most classic example is we take the most basic or we take the Bible stories that everybody knows, and we never look at it new. We never look at it fresh. We kind of mark it off as, well, I know that already. Mm-hmm. And having really had my own eye-opening moments and everything years ago and really starting to dig into scripture again, some of these old things that I thought I believed, I started looking at, and God really racked my world. Yeah. And ultimately has now opened my eyes to seeing things fresh and new. And I think we need to be willing to do that. And I think we get in those moments where we quit really truly doing that.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we slide into the danger of the Phariseeism, right. Is you've got your system, and that's what you believe, and that's what you're supposed to follow. You got to stick with the party line, and that's dangerous. And so,
yeah, I think that goes with how John says there. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, and the truth's not in us. And then he goes, if we confess our sins, if we realize that we're not perfect and we need Jesus to continually redeem us, redeem those parts in us that are not like him, and that makes the difference. And that's what he means by we won't walk in the darkness. So.
Well, and I think, too, it's one of those things, you know, we can sit there and say, too, oh, I know I'm a sinner. But if we never take the time to really acknowledge our sin, you know, what are we doing? Well, I'm around a bunch of Christians, so I better say, you know, oh, I know I'm a sinner too. I'm a sinner. But then I go off and I continue doing what I'm doing. Well, guess what? You're saying you have no sin. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody who's truly acknowledging their state is, I'm messed up. I am messed up. God's working on me all the time. You want to? I'll talk to you how God is working on me and where I'm messed up. And that's the honesty there. That's the truly going to God and saying, I have sinned, man. I need your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. And I think that's that danger too, that talking out of two sides of your mouth. You're saying, I'm a sinner, but then you go off and go off life as normal. Well, you're really saying you have no sin. Mm-hmm. You know, that has no meaning, it has no power. And so I think we have to be mindful of those moments. So
definitely.
But that's what makes Jesus as the light of the world so awesome, because he will reveal it, and he will reveal himself, and he will radically change our lives. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff.
Good. Well, I think that's about it for what we got this week. We are looking forward to next couple weeks studying John, and then we're going to be taking a break, jumping into a How to Study the Bible series. So that's going to be exciting.
It's going to be awesome.
Got a lot of good stuff coming for everybody at that point. So we hope, again, this podcast was encouraging to you. And if you have any comments or questions, just let us know, and we'll be back with you next week on the podcast. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Motion Church Weekly. As always, head over to our website at motionchurch.life or follow us on social media to keep up with the latest from Motion Church. We hope you have a great week.